what happened to the pastor today, because we're going to read two verses. That's what the message is going to be, based on two verses only. And you know, that's what, in the old times, I would call that a sermon that is just based on a verse is a different type of sermon than when you expound and you do an expositional sermon. But sometimes the Lord just gives you the whole message in a few words. He doesn't need a big old section. It's needed to know the context. No, we need to know the context and what's going on. But in here, we remembered that it was a hard message last week, talking about the death of John the Baptist and how he was beheaded, how the Salome, Herodias' daughter, had danced before Herod, her stepfather, and how they were celebrating his birthday, and he had all kinds of friends around, and they wanted to keep watching this girl dance. So he promised to give her whatever she wanted. She went and asked the mom and says, "What should I ask for?" He says, "Oh, ask for the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king gave her that because he had promised it in front of everyone. And they came and told Jesus of these things that had happened. And it says here in verse 13, oh, wait, I'm on chapter 13. No wonder. I'm like, wait, this looks different. Okay. It says, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. Verse 14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that today you use these two verses to speak to our hearts, Lord. Speak to your church. Speak to this world. Speak to the leaders. Speak to each one of us, Lord. You know exactly where we are. You know the condition of our hearts. You know the condition of our souls. You know the state of our minds. You know exactly if we're fearful or if we're trusting. If we are sick or if we are well. You see beyond what we can see, because you know us. And so today, Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to us in a powerful way. No matter who we are, if we're part of the body, or even if we don't have a relationship with you, that we would open our hearts and listen to what you want to tell us. Use my lips and use me, Lord, as a vessel just to proclaim your truth. Nothing else. Just your truth, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. When we look at these two verses, I know you're like, wait, that's it, Pastor? Yes, that's it for today. It's going to be a simple one. It's not going to be complicated, because I want to make sure that everyone pays attention, everyone understands, everyone can hear, everyone can apply, and everyone can see Jesus as he is. Now we look at verse, now this is what the sermon that God gave me, just these three points. Jesus sees, Jesus has compassion, and Jesus heals the sick. Wow. That's it, Pastor? Yes. But as we look, the key verse would be verse 14. And it says, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Wow. We need the healing touch of Jesus Christ. Not only in our bodies, not only of this pandemic, but also of our minds, of our soul. We need to be cleansed. We need to be healed. And he knows exactly where each one of us is. Some of us have been locked in for all these months, and fear has moved in. Fear has become the companion. Fear has become what moves you, or what doesn't move you, what doesn't allow you to move. And the Lord sees. He knows exactly. He's seen the condition of the church too, where some of us have become numb to the move of the Holy Spirit. And we said, maybe this is a time to just take a break, to not do nothing. And some of us as pastors have contributed to that, where instead of following the lead of the Holy Spirit, or instead of following the lead of the Word, we've allowed other things to lead us. And we move and make decisions based on that, instead of allowing God to be the one to lead us. And so today, I pray that God would use these two verses to speak to us. And notice that when we look at verse 13, it says that when Jesus heard it, what did he hear? He heard about the death of John the Baptist. That's what he heard. Now, it says that he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. Now, was Jesus afraid? Was Jesus afraid of Herod? And he says, oh, let's get out of here, because Herod is gone mad. He just killed John the Baptist. He's probably going to come after me now. No. No. Jesus is not afraid. One time they came and told him, hey, get away from this town. Get away, because I think it was Herod. Herod is trying to kill you. Or Pilate. One of the two. But he says, no. No. I have to do the work of God. It is day. And I have to do the work of God. The day has 12 hours. I got to work. I got to do my Father's will. So I'm not going to allow someone to move me, to put fear into me, to take me from doing God's will to now be hiding. No. What did Jesus do? He departed not because he was afraid. It says here that he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. Do you think he was by himself? No, he wasn't. He departed from there because he wanted to go and spend time with the Father. He wanted to go and be ministered by the Father, to receive from the Father that direction, that comfort, that power, that encouragement. Seeing what was going on in the cities, seeing what was going on in the town, seeing that evil was reigning loose in the city. He said, I need to spend some time with my Father. I need to go and be in a deserted place with my Father. I need to spend time with Him. And that's what He did. And that's what we need to do. We need to change
the channel. Sometimes the enemy passes just on one channel. Fear, 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 fear. And from being children of God, we end up being all nervous and all... we can't even look outside because it's getting us. It's going to come to get us. Instead of, you know what? Change the channel. Start listening to the Holy Spirit. Start listening to the Word of God. Start listening to His voice. And you will be encouraged. I will be encouraged. Instead of being all numbed out. Instead of being controlled by fear. The Bible says that we are the children of God. That God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has given us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. So we need to be controlled by God. You know that before the end, before Jesus comes again, the Bible talks about the great falling away. How is that going to happen? Through fear. People are going to be afraid to be part of the church. And they're going to say, you know what? I feel better out there. When in reality, you are without hope when you're out there. You have nothing when you're out there. The only one that can give us hope. The only one that can give us joy. The only one that can give us strength. The only one that can lift us up. The only one that can wipe our tears away is the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as Jesus set an example for us, we need to do that ourselves. We need to do that. We need to go and seek the Lord while He may be found. So Jesus departed. He's over there by Himself. But notice what happened. And this is where I see the hand of God speaking to us. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed Him on foot from the cities. God is calling people. And I'm not telling you to leave the city, but I'm telling you, come to Christ. Come to Christ. Don't let fear control you. Those that want to be ministered by Christ will have to leave certain things. We'll have to leave certain comforts. We'll have to move outside of their comfort zone. If you want to be ministered by Him, you will not find Him. Sorry to say this, you will not find Him in a bar. You will not find Him there. Yes, He'll minister to someone. But when you decide to follow Christ, when you decide that you want to follow Him, you need to get out. You need to leave and come to Him. And so, when they heard where He had gone, they followed Him. Are we going to do that? Are we going to follow Christ wherever He leads us? If He says, go here, we go there? Or are we going to say, nah, that's too far. He went too far. I can't get that far. I'm good right here. I'll travel maybe 5 minutes. But when you look at how the Bible describes the men and women of God, all of them had to leave. All of them. Abraham was called. And he had to leave his family. He had to leave his city. And he had to move on in the direction that God just told him, go. Where? Go. But
can I get a map?
No. Go. I will show you where you will go. And so Abraham just took off. I wonder if this is the way God wants me to go. And then God appeared to him and showed him where he wanted to go. Abraham took a little detour, went to Egypt, but he had to come back. No, come back. Don't stay there. Same thing with Jacob. Jacob left and he had to come back. Like he went to Laban and like, no, get back. And God calls Joseph, takes him to Egypt, and then brings him back. And so we all have to make a decision. Am I going to stay in the same area? Am I going to be the same forever? Or am I going to walk out of my comfort zone? Out of this easy Christianity? Am I going to put an effort in serving God? Or am I just going to sit back? Notice how Jesus left to a deserted place. The Bible speaks to us about the cloud being in the tabernacle. But sometimes the cloud would raise up and go and move. What did the people have to go? Go get the cloud and bring it back? No! They had to pick up everything and go and follow the cloud. Wherever the cloud stopped, that's where they stopped. If the cloud stopped in one place, then this is where we're supposed to be. We follow the cloud. The cloud doesn't follow us. And so here Jesus goes and the people say, we need hope. We need strength. We need healing. We need to be ministered. But Jesus has left. So I need to get out. I need to go look for him. And notice how Jesus was spending time to be able to minister, and he's being an example for us. We need to spend time with the Lord in order to be ministered so that we can give out of what he gives. We cannot minister in our own power. We have to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're just vessels. And we are broken vessels. We are defective vessels. Some of us are empty vessels. We need to be full. And when we realize that, and we say, oh wow, I need the Lord to fill me up. I need to go back. I need to go and spend time with him. And I need to follow him, even if it's not going to be easy. They traveled a great distance on foot. They did not take a horse. They did not take an Uber. They did not take a Lyft. Just so I don't get calls from Lyft. They did not get a ride. They went on foot from the cities. Traveled a great distance. He had left on boat. And they said, he went that way. Let's go. And they went around the lake. Miles and miles. Many with their children. They took their little ones. Let's go. Where are we going? We're going to go follow Jesus. Where did he go? He went that way, but we're going to go around. And they walked all around to be able to find him because they realized that they needed him. Some of us have not gotten to that point where we realize, I need Jesus. I need salvation. I need healing. I need strength. I need to be ministered by him. So we haven't put an effort. We have just sat down, laid back, not humbled ourselves. And we've been waiting for Him to follow us when He's over there waiting for us to follow Him. And so we need to get out. They left the comfort of their home. They left the comfort of an air conditioning place. And they followed Jesus. And they went. And you know, sometimes some people look for comfort. They look for joy. They look for different things and say, oh, I need this. Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. And they look for different things. And they don't realize that what we need is Jesus. That's what we need. More than money, more than fame, more than anything that this world can offer, we need Jesus. We need Him. But some of us are not willing to pay the price. We are comfortable. We are so good in our couchy. We are so good with our TVs. We are so good with our computers. We are so good between ourselves, but we are not looking for Him. We need to get up. We need to stand up. And we need to start moving. We need to start walking. We need to start realizing our need and searching for Him and looking for Him and saying, Lord, sorry. You left a long time ago. I was back there. And yet you want me. You want to be with me. And you want me to be with you. And I'm going back. I'm going to follow you. Whatever it takes. I might not have good tennis shoes. I might not have a big umbrella to walk on this desert. I may not have air conditioning. But I'll follow you. I'll follow you. Because there's something greater than all that. Now, it is so awesome. Jesus knows exactly where we're at. And He responds according to our need. He knows exactly the condition of our heart. He knows how empty we are. He knows everything. He knows us even better than what we know, than we know ourselves. We might think we know what we need. He knows exactly what we need. And He is ready when we come to Him. So notice in verse 14. And when Jesus went out from where? From spending time with the Lord. From being in the presence of the Father. It wasn't that He was trying to get away so that people wouldn't bother Him. He knew that the only way He could minister was through the power of the Holy Spirit. And He's setting an example for us. The only way we can be able to minister to others is if we walk in the power of God. But in order to walk in that power, we need to be ministered ourselves. We need to come to Him. And when He came out, He saw. It says, 14, and when Jesus went out, He saw a great multitude. Oh, that the Lord would start bringing many to the foot of the cross. But probably this world needs us to be serious about our faith. This world is looking at us and saying, how serious are you about your faith? How committed are you? Do you just have a religion? Do you just have your little rituals? Or are you serious about following Christ? And I think once the world sees true faith, once the world sees true passion and true love for God, they're going to follow us. Not us. They're going to come with us to the cross. And they're going to say, wow, this person was willing to do this and to leave this and to leave that in order to follow Christ. I need that. I need to follow Christ that same way. He must have the answer. He must have what I need. But if they see us so entertained with their things, they're going to look at us and say, what's the difference? Looks like you love it here. You don't seem too heavenly to me. You don't seem too serious. I haven't ever heard you talk about Christ. What do you mean you're a follower of Christ? Wow. But here we see that when Jesus came, he saw a great multitude. Oh, that would be awesome. And you know what the Lord does? Just this week, they tell us we need to get out. Isn't God awesome? Isn't God awesome? People don't go to church. People are laid back, sitting at home. And God says, bring the church out. Make worship loud and public that everyone can hear it. So we're going out. Amen? We're going out. And I said, Pastor, but the air conditioning. So what? But Pastor, the sun. So what? Amen? And I think of the early church. And I think of the church right now in China, in India, in Iraq, Pakistan, different places of Africa. You think they're thinking of air conditioning? That's the least of their worries. Their heads could be chopped off for following Christ. They could be in prison. They could be beaten up. Their property could be taken away for following Christ. And yet we say, what, Pastor? What are we doing? Really? That's a great sacrifice. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's nothing. It's just that we're so comfortable. We are so pampered. Oh, we love it. Oh, come on. Rock my baby. Oh, no. That's Josh with his baby, but not us. We can't be rocking the babies because the babies are 20 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, and we cannot rock the babies. We need to get moving. Amen? And not waiting for someone to move us. Oh, Pastor, it's your job to come and wake me up. No. No, each one of us has to put an effort. Each one of us has to realize, you know what? I need God. You know what? I need a relationship with Christ. I need to deepen my connection with Him. I cannot continue in this way. I need to move out. I'm not saying move out of your house. I'm just saying I need to start moving.
I need to follow Christ in a radical way. Not in a complacent way. Not hoping that they see Christ because of the shirt I'm wearing. No. I want them to see Christ because of my character had been changed by the power of God. Because the fruit of the Spirit is being evident in my life. They can see peace. They can see love. They can see joy. They can see faith. They can see that I am not a double-minded, that I'm committed, that I am serious. They can see in us someone who is committed to prayer, someone who's committed to the Word, someone who's serious about their faith. And they'll say, ah, that's how a Christian looks like. So we need to move out. We need to start taking this to a next level. I believe in the rapture. Many don't. And so let's say just for the sake of argument, let's say the rapture doesn't happen. Would you survive the reign of the Antichrist? Would you survive? With that faith, with that commitment, would I survive? Or would I be the first one to say, brothers and sisters, see ya. I'm going to go follow the Antichrist. No! So we need to strengthen ourselves. We need to get serious with the Lord. We need to get moving and doing His will. Amen? These are the times where, there's no more playing around. There's no more playing around. This is a serious time that we're living in. And we need to get committed to the Lord. And I know that means some changes for some of us. The Lord is speaking to me too. Don't think that it's just for you. There's some changes that I need to do. There's some things that need to change. And as I'm speaking, there's some things that you need to change. And you're thinking, yeah, that's true. And so here, we see that when Jesus went out, Jesus comes out, and there's a multitude in front of him. Yet, he knows each individual one. He can look in a multitude and distinguish, oh, there's John. I know exactly what John needs. I know what John has been thinking. I know what John is going through. People around him don't know. I know. I know what's deep in his heart. I know his dreams. I know his aspirations. I know exactly what John needs. And he looks at Mary and he says, Mary, I know what Mary is going through. I've seen those tears. I've seen that suffering. I've seen that loneliness. Wherever he looks, there is a multitude. But Jesus knows each one of us personally. And that is the awesome thing. That we can come to Christ. And even if we come in a great group, in a great gathering, Jesus looks at us individually. And out of the multitude, He could point you out. And He can touch your heart. He can touch your soul. He can touch your mind. He can touch your body. He can make you whole. And what an awesome thing is to be touched by Jesus when He looks and He sees your need and He sees my need. And I don't even need to speak the words, and He already knows them. He can look at me and say, oh, I know what you've been going through. And He can look at you and say, I know your need. I know exactly what you need. And so Jesus sees, and it says that He went out and he saw a great multitude. Now notice what happened. And he was moved with compassion for them. Oh, what a great God we serve. What an awesome God we serve. A Jesus full of compassion. He's not like us. We sometimes look the other way. And we think, no, that's going to take too much effort. No, that's going to take too much of my time. No, I don't have that much money. No, I can't go in that direction. No, let me just look this way. Not Jesus. Jesus is full of compassion. And he looks at us and he says, I love you. I love you. And I know what you need. And what an awesome God we serve. Heaven bows before him. Angels adore him. What an awesome God we serve. He is an awesome God. He is an awesome Savior. He is not far from us. He is so close. But he's waiting for us to get close to him. He's always there. He's only a prayer away. A prayer away. And sometimes we spend so much time lonely. So much time into depression. So much time into trials, into pain. When Jesus is there. And he's looking at us. And he's an arm's length, a prayer away. For us, just as Peter was sinking, he just pulled out his hand, Lord, I'm sinking. That's it. And the Lord just grabbed him and pulled him out. He says, why did you doubt, Peter? Oh, I wouldn't have an answer. I'm like, Lord, what are you talking about? These were great waves. This was, I saw a shark over there and I got scared. But Peter didn't even answer. He's like, thank you, Lord. I'm right with you. Well, that's how far he is from us. A prayer away. And how hard for him when he's full of compassion, when he's full of love, when he knows our need, when he knows our heart, when he knows everything about us, and he's just right there waiting. Are you going to cry out? Are you going to ask me to get involved in your life and help you? Or are you going to continue struggling by yourself? What are you going to do? What am I going to do? And what an awesome God. It says he was moved with compassion for them. And notice what he did. And he healed their sick. Wow. They brought him all the way over there? People brought their sick all the way to Jesus? They traveled miles? Because they knew that only he could heal them. That only he could touch them. That only he could save them. That only he could give eternal hope. Oh, what a great God we serve. Because Jesus doesn't just look at us and know about us, but he does something about it. Many of us know about people's needs. Maybe many of us know about people's condition. But yet, we can't do nothing. Or we can do very little. But yet Jesus can heal every heart. He can heal every mind. He can heal
everybody. He can bring healing to every soul. He can make you whole again. He can make me whole again. I don't need to fall into that deep hole and stay there. Because I can reach out my hand and say, Lord, can you get me out of here? Can you take me out of this hole? I can be drowning in an ocean of problems. And I can cry out, Lord, please, save me. Take me out of here. And He can do it. I can be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And right in the midst of the darkness, right in the midst of everything that's going on, I can cry out and He will come to my rescue. Not only will He come, but as the song that Josh was singing, He's right there. He's right there with us, waiting for us to cry out to Him. Oh, two verses, very simple verses, but how deep, how powerful. Now the question is, will we come? Will we come to Jesus? And you know, I've been listening to a lot of things about all this thing that's are going on. And the Bible says that we should take the good and then leave what's not good. And there's some things that I realized. And I'm like, you know what? It's true. It's true. It's been several months since we've been going through all this thing. And all through these months, I think we only had communion once. And we pray for people, like, stay over there, pray for you. And I understand being careful. I understand caring for the people. But I also understand that God has called us to minister to people. And this might not be a message that you might receive well, but I just got to say it, because this is how the Spirit put it in my heart. I didn't see Jesus walking away from the leper. I didn't see Jesus walking away from the prostitute and say, oh, no, don't get close to me. Don't get close to me. So what I'm saying is that we need each other. If you have someone close to you, pray for them. Pray for them. Don't shy away. Say, you know what, let me help you with prayer. But as a pastor, I'm called to pray too for the sheep. I'm called to pray for the sick. I'm called to pray for those that are unsaved, for those that need salvation. I'm called to be there for the people, just like Jesus was. And so, it's so awesome to know that Jesus will always give us what we need. Notice that I didn't say He will give you what you want. Amen? He will give us what we need. We might come to Him asking for something and He says, no, I know what you really need. I know your need is not that. Your need is this. And He can touch us. He can change us. He can transform us. And so I pray that right there where you are right now, let's spend some time before the Lord and asking Him
to touch us, asking Him to minister to us. Bring to Him, if it's too private, you don't have to speak it out. You can just say it in your mind. But He will listen to your prayer. He will listen to my prayer. And He will answer, because He knows our need. So if you're at home and you're full of fear, if you're at home, and I pray for these ladies that haven't been able to be in church for so long, and some of them don't have a family, they're just sitting there by themselves, and I'm like, Lord, they need to know that You love them, that no matter what's going on, you are there for them, and that You can minister to them. So I'm going to invite you wherever you are, in the hospital, if you're in the car by yourself and you're like, wow, I needed this word, I want you to pray. I want you to come before the Lord. Remember, He's only a prayer away. He's out of your reach. You can tell Him what you need. You can tell Him what you want. He will always hear you and He will always answer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, right now, Lord, just as we read these two verses, Lord, and we realize that we need to come out. We need to come out of our seclusion, Lord. Out of being shut in. We need to come out and speak to You, Lord. And tell You that we need You. That it's been too long since we've been listening to the voices of the world. To the fear that has been brought into our hearts. But today, Lord, we realize what a great Savior we have. We realize that You are calling us out. That You want us to get right with You. That You are waiting for us to cry out to You. Lord, here we are. Empty vessels. Praying that You fill us with Your Holy Spirit, that we would be able to come to You, and that You would answer our prayers. Thank You, Lord. We bring our little ones. We bring our teenagers. We bring our young adults. We bring the elderly. We bring everyone, Lord, to You. And we pray that today You would touch our hearts, that You would touch our souls, that You would touch our minds, that You would touch our bodies. And just as the Scripture tells us, You healed all that were sick. That today You would bring healing into each one of us, Lord. Touch any area of our life that needs to be touched. And bring us into a close and personal relationship with You. We don't just want to have religion. We don't just want to have tradition. We want to have a personal relationship with You. One that will carry us through this life and as we go in our way towards You. Help us go and reach others. Help us bring others to You so that a great multitude will be before You. Use Your church. Use the pastors. Use the leaders. Use the worship leaders. Use everyone with their talents and their gifts. And take us, Lord, to do Your work. Thank You, Lord, for this word. I needed this. I needed this, Lord. Help me, Lord, to fulfill the calling that you put in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.